And if this is something that you cannot accept, then the last thing is the sword. Now, the translator put these three options to them. And the priest responded, okay, we will not leave the religion of respect. Our deaths are easier upon us than to leave our religion. We will give our lives, but we will not leave our religion. Now, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was still in Damascus, was informed. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu instructed the Muslims to launch an attack and explain that as soon as his letter reaches them, Abu Ubaidah will join them with the remainder of the Muslims. When the Muslims received this good news, every one of them expressed happiness. But okay, Imam Waqidi relates, he says, that night, the Muslims spent in such happiness, as if the Muslims were waiting for a long-awaited relative who they haven't seen. When somebody is waiting for a relative who he hasn't seen for years, out of excitement, he cannot sleep that night. He says, the Muslims spent that night in exactly the same manner, in happiness and in joy, that tomorrow they will come to Jerusalem and they will enter and they will pray in this blessed land. And every Muslim general was making this dua, that let Jerusalem be conquered on his blessed hands. And in the morning, coincidentally, every imam read exactly the same verse in prayer. Ya qawm idkhulu al-ard al-muqaddasata alladhi kataba Allahu lakum. O people, enter the blessed land which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. Every imam, coincidentally, on that morning, read this verse of the Quran. Now in the morning, the Muslims launch an attack. And the Christians respond by shooting arrows on the Muslims very easily, take them on their shields. And the Christians are very happy that they are resisting. And they were looking down upon the Muslims. And they fought till Maghrib. At the time of Maghrib, the Muslims retired. Some of them started cooking and preparing their meals, while some of them stood before the Almighty Allah in prayer. Some were making dua and some were reciting the Quran. Every day, the Muslims would launch an attack. You really scared him. Muhammad is asking if everybody can move closer because there are many brothers coming and there's no space. If everybody can come closer. And the brothers that are sitting on the staircase, if they can also come down so that people coming inside this space, if they can move to the right place. Now every day the Muslims would launch an attack, and the Christians were very happy that so easily that the Muslims are not causing any problems. And this went on for a few days. On the 11th day, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived, and the Muslims shouted Allahu Akbar when they saw the Amir. And the Muslims shouted Allahu Akbar so loud that fear crept into the hearts of the Christians. And they made their way to their main church, Kanisatul Qiyamah, and they told their father that the Amir has arrived and with him has come the remainder of the believers. All of a sudden, the expression and the color of his face, the big father, changed. And he said, this is it. The priest asked him, what are you referring to? He explained that in the knowledge that we have inherited, it is mentioned that this land will be conquered by the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if it is he, then they should make peace with him, as they cannot defeat him. And if it's not he, then they should continue to fight, as they will not be defeated. And then he himself came to see the Muslim Amir, followed by his priests. He climbed one of the walls. At the time, the Muslims were greeting Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of the Christians called out asking for ceasefire, explaining, if your Amir is the one that we are looking for that has been described in our books, then we will give you the city and we will pay the tax. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu advanced forward. And the big father had a good look at him. And after taking a good look, he said to his people, it is not he, keep on fighting. And they kept on fighting and started shooting at the Muslims. Without saying a single word to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he left. Now Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, okay, there is definitely something here. That he's taken a good look, he's not said a single word, and they've started shooting again. And the fighting continues. Now the Muslims came to Jerusalem and laid a siege in the winter days. And the Christians were thinking that the Muslims would not be able to tolerate the cold winter. And within a short period of time, the Muslims would leave. But the Muslims there are firm, tolerating the cold, the snow, the rain. And the Muslims are not moving. And every day is becoming more difficult for the Christians. The siege that the Muslims laid was now proving difficult. Their rations are coming to an end. And at the same time, the Christians were waiting for reinforcements from the king. And the reinforcements are not coming. They make their way to the big father, and they relate this problem to him. And they say to him, if what these Arabs are proposing is easier to accept, then we will accept it. And if what these Arabs are proposing is difficult, then we will open the doors, and we will fight, and we will continue fighting till we die. The big father put on his clothes and took his cross, and followed by his priests reciting the Bible before them, they climbed the walls and asked for the Amir. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu came forward. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu came forward, and they asked Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, okay, what do you want from us in this blessed land? Anyone who has evil intentions to this land, God destroys that person. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu remarked, you say it is a blessed land. Indeed, it is a blessed land. This is the land to where our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on the night of Mi'raj. This is the land of the Anbiya. And this is the land of revelation. And we are more worthy of this land than you. And we will remain here. And we will not move an inch till Allah gives us power and rule over this land as Allah has given us power and rule over the other cities of Sham. He asked, what do you want? Abu Ubaidah said, Haslatu min Sarath. We want from you one of three things. The first, say La ilaha illallah. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. There is no God worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. The father replied, these are big words. And we indeed say, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. But we do not believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger of Allah. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, you have spoken a lie. You do not believe in the one God, in the one Allah. Allah has already told us in His book that you believe Masih Isa alayhi salam, na'udhu billah, is the son of Allah. The Baba said, what is the second thing that you offer? Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained, we will make peace. You will pay the tax. And we will protect you as we protect our own. And your properties and your lives will be safe. He said, this is more humiliating than the first option. And we cannot accept this. Abu Ubaidah said, if that is the case, then we will fight you. And we will keep on fighting you till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you victorious. And this land becomes ours. And then when we fight you, then your children will become our slaves, your wives will become our slaves, and then we will not look. We will kill all those that do not believe. The Baba replied, you cannot kill us. And we will not give you our city. How can we give you our city when we are well prepared? We have the Russians. You can lay siege for as long as you like. We are not like those people that you have fought in Sham and the people that you have conquered and that have agreed to pay the tax. They were people who Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was angry with. And thus, they have been subjected to you. We live in such a blessed city that whoever prays to Jesus, whenever he calls upon Jesus, he will respond to his call. And then he took qasam in the name of Isa alayhi salam that if you stay here for 20 years, even then, you will not conquer this city. This city will only be conquered by a man whose description is in our books. And we look at you, we do not find this man amongst you. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, can you talk about this man in your books who will conquer this blessed city? Who is this man? Do you have his description? The Baba replied, indeed, we have his description. We will not tell you who this man is. What we will tell you, that his name is Umar. He is the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His title is Al-Faruq. And he is one who has no fear. A very firm man. When Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala heard these words, he smiled and says, قَطَعْنَا الْبَلَدْ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. By the Lord of the Kaaba we have conquered. And then he said to the Baba, will you recognize this man if he was standing before you? The Baba explained, indeed you will recognize him. All his description is in our books. And when we see him, we will recognize him. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained that this man that you were talking about, he is our leader. And he indeed is the companion of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Baba said, if what you are saying is the truth, then tell this man to come. And if he comes without a fight, we will give him Jerusalem and we will pay the tax. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the Muslims and he related what the Baba had said. All the Muslims that have joined shouted, Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. Happy that we have conquered this blessed land. And immediately they told Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to write a letter to Sayyidina Amir or Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to come so that we can conquer this blessed city and pray in the blessed land. Shawabil ibn Hasanah interrupted and said, be patient. What if these people are lying? What if they do not know who Umar is? So Sayyidina Sharabi ibn Hassana instructed, let us send Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid resembled Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu in appearance. Khalid bin Walid comes. And the father has a good look at Khalid bin Walid. And after taking a good look, he says, there are many signs missing. This is not that man. And then he told the Muslims, if you try to deceive us again, then we will not speak with you, and we will not give you the city till each and every one of us are killed, even if you stay here for 20 years. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote a letter to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, explaining the situation. Maysara ibn Masruq al-Abasi took the letter to Madinatul Munawwara. When he reached Medina, it was night. He came and said salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he rested in the masjid. And in the morning he woke up with the adhan of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. He made wudu and went behind Sayyidina Umar Farooq. And after prayer he gave the letter of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now when Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu read the letter, he gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een and he asked for their opinion, he consulted them. Now Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu expressed that the Christians have been overtaken by fear and that they have lost heart. And if the Amir al-Mu'mineen declines their offer and rejects it and does not go, this will be more humiliating for them. However, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu expressed that betterment for the Muslims is in this, that the Amir al-Mu'mineen personally goes. Why? Because the siege has gone on for long. It is very cold. The Muslims are in difficulty. If the Amir al-Mu'mineen goes, the Muslims will become happy. And when Allah conquers this blessed land on His hands, for every step the Amir al-Mu'mineen takes from Madinatul Munawwara to Jerusalem, for every step he will be rewarded. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu shared and held the same opinion as Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he decided to go. He looked at what would benefit the Muslims than what would disgrace the kuffar. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes his way to the masjid. Sends salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then with a group of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes his way to Jerusalem, leaving Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in charge of Madinatul Munawwara. Now before Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu left, he wrote a letter to the Muslim generals, asking all the generals to meet him in a place called Jabiya. Now one would think that this march of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which was calculated to all the enemies of Islam and show them the pomp and the power and glory of Islam, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the Muslims, will march to Jerusalem with thousands of men, all on horseback. And he will be dressed in beautiful clothes. And he will march in pomp and splendor, as generals normally do when they march to great lands and enter great places and blessed places. But this was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is how Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is marching to Jerusalem to conquer the blessed land. Some narration suggests that on that day Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came on a horse. Some say that he came on a camel. He had nothing to cover his head. No turban, no amama, no hat. His head was exposed to the intense heat of the sun. His chadar was the wool of a ram. And the same chadar that he covered his body with when he would sleep during the night, this is what he was spread. His clothes are worn out, and the pockets are torn. And this is how the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the man under whose feet the world was, and who struck terror in the hearts of the Kufar king around the globe, this is how he is marching to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jabiya, the Muslim generals are already waiting for him. And they receive him. And they come before Umar wearing beautiful garments. Garments of silk. And their appearances have made them look like as if they were Persians. Their long stay in Syria had an impact on the way they looked and behaved. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, when he saw the generals dressed in this manner, he alighted and he picked up some pebbles and he pelted them, saying to you how quick you have accepted the ways of the Persians. And the generals explained, "Ya Umar, we have not lost the art of warfare." And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraced them one by one. Now when the Muslims saw Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu dressed in this manner, they requested that he should wear beautiful white clothes, and that he should ride a horse of Turkish breed, explaining that this will have a greater impact on the Christians. The horse that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala was riding, in narrations it is mentioned that the hooves of that horse were so worn to tendons that the animal was limping painfully. A horse of Turkish breed is presented to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala mounts, and the horse begins to prance. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu dismounts, saying, "Miserable thing, where's this arrogance come from?" And when they present beautiful white clothes to Umar, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains that the honor that Allah has bestowed upon him is the honor of Islam, and that is enough. And he does not wear the clothes. And it is like this, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu with the Muslim generals makes his way to Jerusalem. And as they are making their way to Jerusalem, they come to a ford of a river. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on seeing water, dismounts. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes off his socks. And he takes his socks in his hands. And then Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu enters the water. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with Umar. Said to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Get up, today you have done a big thing." Implying that what Umar had done was not right. It was something which people would look down upon, and it was not appropriate. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu hit Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah on the chest and said, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, had anyone else said this, then they would have known what Umar would have done to them." And then Umar explained, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, we were the most disgraced of people. And Allah gave us honor through Islam. Whoever looks for respect in things other than Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace them." They are reached Jerusalem. And when the Muslims see Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, in happiness they shout Allahu Akbar. And the Christians realize now that the Muslim leader has come. And when... Come on guys, I'm alright. When the Baba sees Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he takes a good look. And when the Baba sees Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Wallahi, by Allah, this is the one that has been mentioned in our books and our scriptures. And Jerusalem is handed over to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and a treaty is drawn. Now Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed in Jerusalem for a few days. On one occasion he asked Sayyidina Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give the adhan. Sayyidina Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after the death of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had stopped giving adhan for anyone after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on this occasion he made an exception for Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he gave the adhan, he uttered the words Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And when he uttered the words Allahu Allahu Akbar, everybody's heart melted and everybody started crying. Mu'adh Abu Ubaidah wept bitterly, while Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell into a fit of unbroken sobs. Now while Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there one day, he visited Masjid al-Aqsa. Now before I continue, I'd like to mention here, what we have today is we have a piece of land. And this land is surrounded by walls on all four sides. I'd say it's bigger than two soccer pitches, definitely. And it's surrounded by walls on all four sides. And on this piece of land, what we have today is, we have a masjid to the front with a greyish dome. This masjid today is called Masjid al-Aqsa. And behind this masjid, about, I'd say, roughly about 60-70 meters, we have another masjid with a goldish dome. This masjid is called Masjid al-Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock. This is what we have today. But the thing that I want you to bear in mind and remember and never forget is, this piece of land, surrounded by walls on all four sides, in reality, what today is called Al-Haram Al-Qudsi, in reality, this piece of land surrounded by walls on all four sides is Masjid Al-Aqsa. Where these masjids came from, I will explain very shortly. But the thing that you cannot forget is, this piece of land on which today Masjid Al-Aqsa stands and Masjid al-Sakhra stands, and there are other things inside on this piece of land, in reality, this is Masjid al-Aqsa. Now when Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, he came to this land, and he asked Ka'ab al-Ahbar where he should pray on this land. Before I continue, I'll just tell you how Ka'ab al-Ahbar embraced Islam, and this will strengthen our iman. Ka'ab al-Ahbar, he says that his father was a great Jewish scholar. And he taught his son much about what was written in the scriptures. And at the time of death, he said to his son, and he'd written something on two pieces of paper. And he said to his son, I do not want you to look inside these papers till you hear of a prophet at the end of the time called Ahmed. Ka'ab al-Ahbar says, when his father died, there was nothing more that he wished to do than to look what was written in these two pieces of paper. It says, after his father's death, he took out these two pieces of paper. And he looked what was written on these pieces of paper, and it was written, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That there is no God worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Khatamun Nabiyeen, he is the last of the prophets. La nabiyya ba'dahu, there is no prophet to come after him. And it was also written that this prophet will be born in Mecca. This prophet will migrate to Taiba. He is not ill-mannered and harsh. His ummah and followers are those people that praise the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all conditions. And their tongues are always fresh with tasbih and takbir. And these people will be helped against those that oppose them from their enemies. They wash their faces and they cover their suckers, and their Bibles are in their hearts, and they love, and their love for one another is like the love the prophets have for their people. This was what was written on these pieces of paper. Gav says, when I read this, I realized there is nothing far greater than this, what my father has taught me. Since after my father died and a short period passed, the described prophet appeared in Makkatul Mukarramah. He says, I started to make inquiries about this prophet. And I was told, just like it was written in these papers, this prophet migrated from Mecca to Madinatul Munawwarah. He says, I kept a good eye out. And I was informed that whoever this prophet fights, he overcomes and he defeats. And one by one, the signs that had been mentioned that my father had written, I was seeing these signs. He says, I made the intention to make my way to him, but I was informed that his prophet has died. And he says, when he died, the thought crossed the mind, okay, maybe this is not the person that my father was talking about. He says, that night I saw a dream that the doors of heaven open and the angels begin to descend in groups one after the other, and a caller calls out that the prophet has died and the revelation has come to an end. He says, after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader became Abu Bakr, and he sent his armies to Syria, and in a very short period he died and then became the leader Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. He says, I said to myself that I will not enter this religion till I am certain that these people are the followers of that prophet that has been described by my father. He says, when Jerusalem was conquered, and when I looked at the way Jerusalem was conquered, in my heart I knew that these people are definitely the followers of that prophet that my father mentioned in these papers. And he says, one day I heard a believer read the verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina utul kitaba aminu bima nazzalna, the verse which instructs the people of the book to embrace iman before their faces are changed. He says, fearing that I am the one that has been referred to in this verse of the Quran, he came and he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, at the hands of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Then Umar Farooq took Ka'ab al-Ahbar to Madinatul Munawwarah so he could relate to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala al-Majma'een what he read inside these scriptures, so that the iman can become stronger. So this was the Ka'ab al-Ahbar. He was a Jewish scholar before he embraced Islam. So, and according to the hadith which Imam Ahmad has related in his Musnad, when Umar Farooq came to Masjid al-Aqsa, he asked Ka'ab al-Ahbar where he should offer his prayer on that land. Now Ka'ab al-Ahbar suggested that he should pray behind the Sakhra, the rock. I'll explain what the rock is in a minute. He expressed that Sayyidina Umar Farooq should pray behind the rock, that way all of goods will be in front of him. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala said to Ka'ab al-Ahbar that the Jewish faith has still a grip on you, and this is why you took off your shoes next to the rock. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala explained, you know, I will pray where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed.
Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala after came to the foot of the masjid and he prayed there. Today, where the current Masjid al-Aqsa is located and situated, this is the place where Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu prayed. And this is the area which Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu made as a prayer area for the Muslims. And to pray in that area is more virtuous than to pray in the other parts. So this is where this front masjid has come from. After praying, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the sakhra, the rock, and he started cleaning the rock. Now the sakhra, the rock, today is in what we call Masjid al-Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock. The goldish dome that you see, inside this masjid, there's a rock. Now this rock, the Jews hold this rock in the same veneration as the Muslims hold the Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone. This rock to the Jews is as important as the black stone is to the Muslims. When Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala came to Masjid al-Aqsa, this rock was full of rubbish. As the Christians with intent would come and they would dump their rubbish next to this rock. To the extent that women from the European states would send their dirty pads there with intent to humiliate and to disgrace the Jews. And the reason the Christians would dump their rubbish next to the Sakhra was in retaliation of what the Jews used to do. What the Jews used to do is, where Hazrat Isa, where the Christians believed that he died and was buried and thereafter was raised to the heavens, where he was buried, the Jews would dump all their rubbish there to disgrace the Christians and humiliate them. So in retaliation, the Christians, when they were in control of Jerusalem, they used to dump their rubbish next to the Sakhra, which was important to the Jews. As for the dome that we have today and the masjid that has been built over this rock, it was built after by Walid ibn Abdul Malik, and some say, okay, it was built by Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Now, many things have been mentioned with regards to this rock and its virtues. People say it is from here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the heavens. There is a footprint there. People believe that this is the footprint of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we need to realize is, this is virtuous not because it is a rock. It is virtuous because it is part of that land, and that land is Masjid al-Aqsa. Anything other than this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from there to the heavens, or this is the footprint of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of this is proven by authentic narrations. Thus, we should be very hesitant to believe and very skeptical to believe anything like this. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed in Masjid in Jerusalem for a few days. And after this, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu went back to Madinatul Munawwar. Now, since Jerusalem has been conquered by the Muslims, in the last 1500 years to this very day, Jerusalem has always remained in the hand of Muslims, and it has only been not in the hand of Muslims for a total period of 99 years. Very briefly, and this happened when the Crusades took place, very briefly, 5 minutes. When the Muslims, when Islam came, you will know, you should know, there were two powers. We had the Persians, they ruled many a land, and then there were the Romans that ruled many a land, and the Romans were Christians. When Islam came, the Muslims began to conquer one country after the other, and they took many a land from the Christians. They took Jordan, they took Syria, they took Spain, they took
Egypt, they took Italy, Cyprus, many a land from the Christians. And they took it overnight. Christians were always looking for revenge. Come the 5th Muslim century, there was divisions in the Muslim Ummah. And unfortunately, wherever there are divisions in the Muslim Ummah, this is the time the Kuffar slaughtered the Muslims. As they are doing today. When the Christians saw the divisions, they started making inroads into the Muslim lands. And they began to conquer one city after the other. Ibn al-Jazir Ibn al-Athir al-Jazri relates, just in Ma'raj al-Nu'man, the Christians slaughtered 100,000 Muslims. Just in Ma'raj al-Nu'man. One city after they conquered. And finally they came to Jerusalem. And they laid siege, which lasted for 40 days. And then on the 27th of Sha'ban, they entered Jerusalem. Muslims took refuge inside the masjid. Just in the masjid alone on that day, they slaughtered 70,000 Muslims. Can you imagine? And one day, in the masjid alone, they slaughtered 70,000 Muslims, and the blood of the Muslims flew in the streets of Jerusalem. This is how they took Jerusalem. Allah initially chose Umar ibn Farooq. This time when Jerusalem was taken, Allah chose two men. The first was Nuruddin Zangi. And the second was Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. It was this man, Nuruddin Zangi, who upset the Crusaders. When he upset the Crusaders, they approached the Pope of Rome. And they asked him to make an appeal. Ask all the Christians of Europe to get together and unite so that they can fight the Muslims. And the Pope of Rome did this. And all the Christians united. They came from England, they came from France, they came from Germany, they came from Italy, they came from Austria. Every European country other than Spain and Portugal. King Louis VII was there. The King of Germany, Conrad, he was there. And they came together to fight the Muslims. However, they were defeated by Nuruddin Zangi. And Nuruddin Zangi took their stronghold of Ruha. This is the same Nuruddin Zangi, Allahu Akbar, that 20 years before Jerusalem was conquered, Nuruddin Zangi ordered that a minbar, a pulpit, be built for the Masjid of Aqsa, so that when Jerusalem is conquered, he can take this pulpit and he can place it inside the Masjid of Aqsa. 20 years before Jerusalem is even conquered, he's preparing the pulpit and the minbar for Masjid al-Aqsa. Unfortunately, he died before Masjid al-Aqsa was the Muslims conquered Jerusalem. And after Nuruddin Zangi came to the forefront, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. And the main thing that he did was he began to unite the Muslims. And the blessings of unity is that one city after the other began to fall. One city after the other began to fall, and he finally came to Jerusalem, and they laid a siege. 5 days he just went around Jerusalem, looking at which would be the best place to launch an attack. And then the Muslims launched an attack. And it was a very fierce battle, because each army saw this as a religious responsibility. Christians believed this land belonged to them, the Muslims believed it was theirs. However, by the grace of Allah, the Kuffar were defeated and Jerusalem came back to the land, to the hands of the Muslims. And the remarkable thing is that the Christians slaughtered 70,000 Muslims when they conquered Jerusalem. When it came into the hands of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, the Muslims did not treat the Christians in the same manner. This was a very brief history of Jerusalem, how it came into Muslim hands. I only went back 2,000 years. This does not mean to say that prior to this, this land was not the land of the true believers. This land, right from the beginning of time, has always been the land of the true believers, the people that believe in the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, where is that land today? It would be a lie if we said that today Jerusalem is in the hands of the Muslims.
It is not in the hand of the Muslims. The question that comes to mind is, the likes of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many a land was conquered during the reign of Umar. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu left the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in to it. But when he came to Jerusalem, why did Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu travel hundreds of miles leaving the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah? And why did the likes of Nuruddin Zangi and Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi spend all their lives fighting the Crusaders and bringing back Jerusalem into the hands of the Muslims? Very briefly, I will explain the second part and answer the second question is, why? What's so important about this land? What's so important about this land for the Muslims? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a book. And that book is called the Quran. There are hundreds of verses in this Quran which relate to incidents that took place in that blessed land. You read Surah Maryam. Kafa ya insa dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. Allah talks about Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. Allah talks about Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. And there are many verses of the Quran which relate to these people and their lives. Where was Hazrat Zakariya and Yahya alayhi salam from? The land of Jerusalem. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam had become old. His hair had become grey. He was desperately in need of a child. His wife was barren, she couldn't give birth to a child. This is the land where Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam made the dua. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْأَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتْ امْرَأَتِي آقِرَةً فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. In which Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam called upon to Allah, O Allah, my bones have become weak and grown feeble. O Allah, the color of my hair has become grey. O Allah, I have never been unblessed in my invocation to you. O Allah, إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. I fear my relatives after me. O Allah, my wife is barren. She cannot give birth to a child. O Allah, you are the one that gives everyone children. Even if my wife is barren, O Allah, you have the power to give me a child. فَهَبْنِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا. O Allah, give me on your behalf a heir which will inherit me and inherit the posterity of Yaqub. O Allah, making one that you are pleased with. This is the land in which he made this dua. And this is the land in which the dua was accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out, يَا زَكَرِيَّا إِنَّ نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ إِسْمُهُ يَحْيَا لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيًّا. O Zakariya, your wife could not give birth to a child. We will give you a child. We give you glad tidings of a child whose name will be Yahya. It is such a name that we have given to none other before this. As a Zakariya and as a Yahya alayhi salam lay buried in this blessed land. You've heard of a woman called Maryam. Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam was the woman, as the Quran says, Ya Maryam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَحَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. She was the woman that was chosen above all women of her time. Allah says, O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and Allah has purified you and Allah has given superiority to Maryam alayhi salam over all the women of the alameen. Where was Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam born? Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was born in the land of Jerusalem. The Quran says, إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَآتُ إِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَزَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِ مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. All these verses happen in the land of Palestine, in the land of Jerusalem. Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam, she was born in Jerusalem. Her mother, the wife of Imran, she couldn't give birth. She desperately wanted a child.
So she took a vow and she said, "Oh Allah, if you give me a child, then I will dedicate this child to your service." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered her prayer. And she was anticipating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her a boy, which will make khidmat of Baytul Maqdis. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. And when she gave birth to a girl, she said, "Oh Allah, look, I've given birth to a girl." And Allah knew what she'd given birth to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this child. And Allah made this child grow in a beautiful manner. When this child was in the care of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, and Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam would come with food, he would find that this child already has food. And when he would see what Allah had provided for her, he would see that there were fruits of winter in summer. And he would find fruits of summer in winter. And he would ask Maryam, "Ya Maryam, anna laki hadha?" "O Maryam, where has all this come from?" And she would say, "This has come from the Almighty Allah. Allah gives to whom He wills, and Allah gives without any restrictions." All this happened in the land of Jerusalem. She was the mother of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Where did she give birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam? In Baytul Lahm, in Bethlehem, a few miles away from Jerusalem. The verses of the Quran, فَأَجَاءَ الْمَخَارِ إِلَى جِزْءِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتِنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًا فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي كَجَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًا. All these verses that took place in the land of Palestine. When they accused her of adultery, and as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke as a child in a cradle. Where did Isa alayhi salatu wasalam speak as a child in a cradle? In that blessed land. This was the land where Isa alayhi salam said, إِنِّي أَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ لِمَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. Why did Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam make figures of a bird from clay and then blow inside this and it would become alive? Why did he cure the lepers? Why did he cure those born blind? Why would he inform them of what they had eaten and what they had stored? All in this blessed land. Where did the tablecloth descend from heaven between two clouds, which over 1,000 people ate from? And whoever ate from this, whichever illness that he was suffering from, he was cured. It came down in the land of Jerusalem. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, where were they? They were in the land of Jerusalem. They are buried in the land of Jerusalem. Where did Hazrat Dawood praise Allah in such a beautiful voice that even the mountains would glorify Allah with him? The birds would glorify Allah with him. Where would Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam speak to the animals in their languages? Where did the winds carry Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam from to wherever he wished? Where were the jinns and their shayateen subjected to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, and they would make pots to great palaces for him? All in the land of Jerusalem. Where did Sulaiman build Masjid al-Aqsa? In the land of Jerusalem. Where did Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam migrate to? Hazrat Lut alayhi salam migrated to a place called Sodom, which today is located, today the Dead Sea is in that place. This is where Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam took them all in his wing and then flung them down and killed them all. Where did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam migrate to? To this blessed land. Where is Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? Where is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam buried? In Hebron, in Masjid al-Khalil. With him is his wife Hazrat Sarah. There is Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam buried there. Next to Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam is his wife, Riqa. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there. Not too far from Hebron, in a place called Sa'ir, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there, another prophet of Allah. Where did Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam desire to be buried? He desired to be buried in Jerusalem. And the Imam Muqaddas, he says that he is buried in Jericho, in Palestine, not too far from Jerusalem. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he desired to be buried, and this is the wasiyah that he made before he died, that he wanted to be buried with his forefathers in that blessed land. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam today is buried in Nablus. Yusha bin Nun. Where is he buried? The Prophet of Allah. He's buried in Nablus. Hazrat Luqman al-Hakim. The verses, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ, the few verses thereafter, the Quran talks about. Where is Luqman al-Hakim buried? In a village called Sarfan in Palestine.
Hazrat Shamil alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah that is referred into the verses of the Quran, لَنَبِيِّ الْمُبَثْ لَنَا مَلِكِ الْنُقَادِرِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He's buried in a village called Rama. Hundreds of prophets are buried in this blessed land. What was the first Qibla for the Muslims? 16 months Muslims prayed towards Masjid al-Aqsa before it was, and thereafter it was changed to the Holy Kaaba. How many a Sahabi lay buried in that blessed land? Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the very companion of Rasulullah that saw Dajjal tied on the island when his boat was tossed by the waves, he's buried in that blessed land. Abu Rayhana, the very companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was stitching something, his needle falls in the water, he prays to the Almighty Allah, "Oh Allah, give me back my needle." The needle comes to the surface. He's buried in that blessed land. Firoz al-Dainami, who killed Aswad al-Anasi, he's buried in that blessed land. As for the ulama and awliya, hundreds and thousands lay buried in that blessed land. And everything that is going to happen before the end of time, many a thing that is going to happen before the end of time is going to happen in that blessed land. Masjid al-Aqsa is one of the masjids that the Dajjal will not be able to enter before the end of time when he comes. The Muslims will be situated with Imam Mahdi in that blessed land. The Muslims with Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will kill the Dajjal in that blessed land. This is the land where the Dajjal will be killed, in a place called Layda, where currently the airport is today. This is the land where the stones and the trees will speak, except for the gharqad, and say, "Ya Abdullah al-Muslim, هذا يهودي خلبي فتعالى فضل كو مسلم وصيغن of Allah, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him." This is the land where Buhayra Tabariya is, the lake of Tiberias, which the Ya'juj, the water of which the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will drink. This is the land where the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will shoot arrows to the heavens, and Allah will return their arrows covered in blood, and these fools will think that they have killed the inhabitants of the heavens. This is the land where people will be gathered before the end of time. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed towards Sham and said, "This is where you will be gathered." And as to how they will be gathered, another hadith suggests that a fire will come out from Yemen and it will drive the people to their place of gathering. Hundreds of things before the end of time will happen in this land. And this is why this land is important to us. This was the land where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to on the night of Miraj, out of all the places in the world. And this is where the superiority and excellence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over other prophets was established. Ahmed ibn Yahya al-Bazzaz al-Baghdadi migrated from Makkah to Medina to Al-Quds, and he regretted that he migrated because he thought that he's lost out on the reward, because the reward that you get for praying in Masjid al-Haram is far greater than praying in Masjid al-Aqsa. And one night he saw Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ahmed ibn Yahya, "Indeed, Makkah is a very blessed city and the blessings of Allah descend. But indeed, Jerusalem is a blessed city also. And Masjid al-Aqsa is also blessed. Had it not been blessed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have brought me to this blessed land the night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took me to the heavens." So this is the significance of this blessed land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to act for what I said. Allah give me the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.